Sounds good.
Okay, go ahead.
Call to order this regular assembly meeting of the City of Berlasca on Tuesday, January 8th, 2019, 7 p.m. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, be led by Assemblymember Patty Gilbert.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have the person's sheet?
Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, we'll get that going. Ceremonial matters tonight. We have Mr. Dan Neumeister from Search going to do a report on the Wrangell Medical Center transition. Good evening, Dan. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, and for you. And it's a real pleasure to be back with you and to share with you some of the highlights that have been going on over the last several months. We really have appreciated and enjoyed the partnership, and what I want to do is basically just go through the slides and share a little bit of information with you. As you can see, the very first picture is a copy of what we hope will be the new facility and clinic as we got it designed, and that design is going quite well. I'll get into that in just a minute. If you turn to the next, let's see if my clicker works. Let's see. There we go. Medical center improvements. I want to share with you a little bit about some of the improvements we've been making at the facility over the last several months. Most probably recently, just over this weekend, was there some generator transfer switches for about $70,000. But you can just get a little sense of, I won't go through all the different components, but some of the things we've been doing to the facility to keep it in a good operating condition and allow us to continue to take care of the patients that we have. If you turn to the next sheet, you'll get a little flavor for some of the IT improvements. Now, these are just things that we normally incur as to expenses as we make a transition into a new facility, and it gives you a little sense of some of the investments we're making in your community. Everything from the personnel transaction items to new time clocks to telephone systems, computers, et cetera, et cetera. So just gives you a little flavor. Currently about $440,000 of investments currently being made. Some of these, I think the first page probably gives you a little bit more flavor, some of the things that are just to keep the facility running. The second page is really just some of the normal transition things that many of these expenses we'll be able to bring right over to the new facility in about 2 years. So hopefully that's kind of a helpful description. If you turn to the next page, it talks about the finances for the facility. A couple things which we're really pretty excited about. First month right out of the gate, we basically hit our budget, which was really exciting for us. And it really reinforces our belief and the belief that you had with us that with our ability to assume some of the expenses as well as the reimbursement picture, it really does kind of work out in a very favorable light for all of us. I do want to share with you that we have transferred already back $130,000 to the city. Those are were the legacy bank accounts that were outstanding. We have already, through our collections, some of you may know, may have forgotten that we forwarded about $300,000 plus for PTO payouts and so forth and some other expenses, but roughly about $400,000. Those have already been covered through collections. And so we're anticipating roughly about another $375,000 in revenue coming in from collections, which we hope to be able to forward that money to you in the near future. The contract allows us to kind of hold that in abeyance for up to 2 years. That is not our desire to do that. That was to kind of make sure all the expenses were covered, et cetera. Our belief, hopefully, is probably within about 6 or 7, 8 months into this relationship, we'll probably release that money to you if all things continue to look the way they are. And that has to do with just the liabilities, any unknown liabilities that might be sitting out there that we've agreed to. And then probably a very positive thing, the Medicare cost report. roughly 264,000. We've been notified that that will be coming probably in February, and our plan will be to release that so that your clerk can have a new computer, which would be important. Yeah. So next time I can use her computer. No, I'm just kidding. If you turn to the next sheet, any questions on the finances? Because I know that's kind of a big deal.
You had some issues with the generator. How did that work out?
It worked out pretty well. Robert, you're here. You were here when it transitioned.
We did have, you know, we kind of troubleshoot what we had in place, realizing that some of the equipment was a lot of data and part for hard to find. And by the Gaper point, we decided just to stop and just replace everything between the power sources and the heli transfer switch, and that got completed over the weekend.
Okay, great.
Okay, the next sheet talks about human resources. Just want to let you, oh, I'm sorry.
About the finances, will we get a full ledger of finances, or does this serve as our notification? You said in January the assembly would get the full ledger from you.
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about our obligations. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. If you turn to the next sheet, you'll see about human resources. Just wanted to share with you that the employees have made a very good transition. We only had one employee that declined the transition. We've got some locums, as you all know, and we're in the process of recruiting to fill those to permanent. We've been successful with hiring one nurse, but we'll continue to work hard at recruiting all of our positions to get hopefully the ideal in all of our locations not to have any locums. But that's sometimes a hard goal to reach. Operations, want to share with you about a couple things that you may be hearing about. Medical staff bylaw consolidation. That really is a way to simplify our credentialing process within our medical staff. We now have Wrangell Medical Center bylaws, medical staff, and we have a search. And so what we're going to do is combine those together so we end up with one medical staff. And that just allows one set of credentialing, one set of proctoring, all the kinds of components that our medical staff works hard to ensure quality of care, that it's done through just one vehicle rather than two. So it's really a simplification process. That will be going to our medical staffs, Wrangell's, as well as Mount Edgecombe Hospital, or the Greater Searchers medical staff, for a vote probably in March or April, then going to our search board in April to ratify this unification of the two medical staffs. So it would be a positive approach. Swedish Specialty Care, I think you probably have heard that we have created a relationship, an affiliation with Swedish Medical Center, and we're really pretty excited about that affiliation, which will allow us to bring specialists up into the Southeast for care, and also allows our physicians to have a nice conduit back down into Seattle with Swedish. Swedish was chosen after a fairly extensive review by our medical staff leadership. We looked at Virginia Mason, University of Washington, as well as Swedish. And let me just carved out Seattle Children's, because our kids are going to go to Seattle Children's as a general rule, regardless of the other affiliations. Our medical staff felt that the best option was for Swedish, and that is why we've created that type of affiliation. We think it'll help us with continuity care and certainly the ability to bring up some specialists into the Southeast that we've never seen before. So we're pretty excited about that. That should be starting roughly in March. And over time, we anticipate we'll have probably at least five or six different specialties coming up into the Southeast on a monthly basis. And then chemo, I know that's been somewhat of an issue from a standpoint of the types of drugs we can provide and the issues around meeting in compliance with some of the rules and laws that are out there regarding a hood and so forth. And my understanding is, and I'm not an expert at this, but this is my understanding and what we believe is true, is there's three types of drugs: tier one, tier two, and tier three. Tier one and two we continue to provide here. Tier three are the most toxic drugs that have to be mixed right here on site and have to have a particular type of hood that is required, I think probably really more so for OSHA to protect the employees. That hood is really not in place here within the old facility, And so as we started making the transition, we realized that in order to protect the employees and to do it the right way, that was something we needed to put a little bit in abeyance. We understand in talking to Dr. Przonka, as well as the work that the nurses have done at Wrangell Medical Center, is that somewhere around 2 patients fall into that category each year. And so we're working on some solutions to provide that service regardless while we're in this situation of not having the right hood. And let me explain what the expenses are. If we go ahead and put in the new hood into the old building, we're going to spend a minimum of $150,000 to do that. We actually, the same folks that did the estimation for the new hospital came back and said you could be spending up to $240,000. Now, the hood is only worth $30,000, so all that other monies is monies that is just spent and you can't pull it back out. And so what we're thinking for these 2 patients, roughly 2, it could be 3, but we're averaging around 2, is that we'll come back with a plan that we have a lot of Alaska Airline miles, and so we'll just provide free transportation, whether up to Juneau or down to Seattle, and then see what we can negotiate as to room rates at a particular hotel if they need to do that. So the idea is to still provide the service in a kind of a roundabout way until we can move into the new facility where the new hood will be and we'll have all the full services that we need. So we just don't think it's really a good prudent use of funds to put in $150,000 or $200,000 for just the next 24 months. But happy to have that discussion if the assembly feels in another direction.
I appreciate your creativeness in trying to solve that problem and also looking at helping families that maybe don't have the means to get out. I think that's all we ask is that you take those things into consideration, and that's very generous of Search to be looking after our citizens that way, Patty.
A very unique solution. And I assume when you say the Swedish specialist will come to Southeast, they won't be coming to Wrangell right away.
Not right away.
But
you are correct.
In the future, you anticipate that some relationship?
Our hope in the future, we're going to start with Sitka because that's where the hub is. But then Wrangell, Klawock, Haines, Sitka, and Juneau are the key 5 locations. And to be honest with you, once we complete the medical center here, you'll be in the top 3. It'll be Sitka, Juneau, and Wrangell would be the 3 because you'll have the facilities and the support people to make it work.
Okay.
Okay. And let's see. Wanted to just go over a little bit of the new campus plans. The plans are going very well. We just had a meeting today going through the budget with the architect. We are really close to staying on budget, probably within a 5% margin right now, and we're working very hard with our contracting general contractor to get that within line, because what we'd really like to do is expand the project to include 4 more nursing home beds, to include move the outpatient pharmacy into the facility, as well as put a fairly nice patio in the middle of this design, and you'll see that in just a minute. This is the, I think you've seen this layout before at some of our previous meetings, the existing AICS clinic and then the new hospital. I think you can see kind of how it all fits on the property. This gives you a little bit of the floor plan, and you can see the add alternate number 1 at the very top, which is redlined. That would be where the expansion of the 4 hopeful additional nursing home beds, the patio in the center, and then moving the outpatient pharmacy into what is now known as the community room at AICS, and then the connecting space right next to that we're going to enclose and turn that into a new community room. So those 3 expansions are roughly worth about $1 million. And so that's we're working. I give the the challenge to the architects to do that within the budget. So my hope is that that will happen. It just gives you a few artist renditions of what we believe, getting pretty close to what reality is going to look like. For those of you who know how you come into the AICS clinic right now, you can see the doors in the middle, and you can kind of get a sense of the restyling of the lobby to accommodate registrations for not only the hospital but also the clinic. And then here's just a typical patient room, pretty straightforward. This is an artist rendition of the activities room and the dining area back in the long-term care unit. Here is the patio. I think the challenge for us here, we're trying to create some of it covered so that there will be perhaps some ambient heating system there, because obviously some of the months it's a little chilly. At the same time, the challenge we've given to the architects is to create a patio setting that is pleasing and enjoyable. But, you know, some patios, the landscaping gets a little tired after a while. And so the idea is to keep it simple, but also to always keep it pleasing, because so many windows will be looking out onto the patio. This is the project schedule, which is really pretty exciting. You can probably see it a little bit closer in the packet that I've handed out to you. We have, in the update today that I had from the architects, is actually they are starting to do some bidding and some anticipated contracting out in February in regards to some of the rock mining and starting to do some of the infill that's necessary. But as you can also see, we're looking at probably an April, May start time for the actual pulling it out of the ground. So pretty aggressive, and a move-in time frame about in December of 2020. So moving very aggressively along. People feel quite comfortable with the timeline, and as long as we don't have the mother of all snowstorms for a long time, I think we'll be okay. Questions from the assembly that I can answer?
Well, thank you very much, Dan, for all that work. It's amazing what you've accomplished in a short period of time. And to your staff, thank you.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate you coming down and doing an update. You can keep us informed as you go along. It's awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very aggressive.
There's a little waiting room.
Okay, we're going to... Sorry, Kim, I got you on the run here. Look at her. We'll move forward to item number two. Our roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison?
Here.
DeLong? Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
DeBord?
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Here. And moving on to item number three, persons to be heard, we have an invocation tonight from Don McConaughey. Don, do you want to come up forward to the podium and do the invocation, please? Thank you.
Please stand. Let us pray. Dear Lord, be with our assembly members as they embark on new endeavors for our community. Keep them ever focused on the needs of this community and the people who live within it. I bless them and keep them in your hand during their deliberations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. We have no other people for persons to be heard. Would you pass that down, please? Any amendments to the agenda? Lisa, did you want to formally...
I think we are going to ask for those to be, the items to be postponed as they come up.
Okay.
That we can... I thought that's... We were going to say that... Oh, I apologize. Oh, my mistake. So, Mr. Mayor, if we could actually... we would like to remove items 13C, D, and E. These are the modifications to the leases in the Wrangell Marine Service Center.
Okay, so 13C.
We've had some concern.
13D and 13E.
We've had some concern expressed by some of the assembly members, and we would like an opportunity to get some staff information, additional staff information together to bring that to you. And we may need to take this recommendation back to the to the Ports and Harbor Commission because this they have to make a recommendation before it comes here. So we don't know the exact time frame. So if we could pull those, that would be great. These leases will go into what's called holdover, and they will be charged the monthly rental that they have been up until the time that the leases change.
Okay. So with that, we will postpone C, D, and E, 13 C, D, and E, onto any... any other amendments to the agenda?
Is there any objections to...
Is there any objections?
Okay.
Hearing none. We'll go to conflicts of interest.
I have a conflict on item 12.
Item 12. And your conflict is that you work for the...
I work for the Bay Company.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just have you stand down during that one, please, David. Thank you. Okay. Any other conflicts of interest? All right, hearing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Been moved. We have a second.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Discussion. I have a couple of points on the consent agenda. let me just bring up my sheet here. A couple of concerns. One is we did not receive Port Commission reports. We received... In this packet, we're receiving April, May, and June. I'm assuming there was no meetings in July, August, or September. We received November in this packet and nothing in December. Is that the case? That's very late for us, and we had an item that was being presented to us that I really wanted to go back and read things, and I would have liked to have sort of been brought along. Is there any way we can ensure that those are provided to us in a more timely manner?
I did send an email to the secretary and asked her if she would please in the future monthly send those to me. Even if they're not approved, I would still like to be able to give those to the assembly. So, but I will have, I will make sure to remind her every month.
So is the approval process not just the next meeting, the minutes are approved and then should be able to come to you?
That's how it's supposed to work. I'm not sure if that's how they do it or not.
Okay, maybe we could look at that format, make sure that that's a little less clumsy. Okay, number two was on the travel summary. That's supposed to be a monthly travel summary, and again, we had multiple months provided to us all at the same time, and the intent of that was for the assembly to be aware because travel can be such an extensive cost. I do have a question specific to the travel summary. I noted two light Empower personnel, both attended conferences for well over $4,000, and I was hoping that someone could explain to me what was the basis of those $4,000 conferences.
I can't, yes, but what I would prefer to do is actually get you a summary in writing at the next meeting so that it's clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just, again, sort of a comparison. I see all other conferences for most people are well under $2,000, and these ones are $4,000.
Yeah. I'll make sure
Thank
that
you.
That's...
If we could have that for the next meeting,
I'd appreciate it. We can get a breakdown of those. Yep.
Anybody else? Any other items from the consent agenda? Okay. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Okay. That's consent agenda. You have your correspondence items in your packet. We'll go to the borough manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's been quite a bit happening, and I want to bring to your attention that the police chief provided a report, a statistics report that is in front of you. Because it is a hard copy, it was handed out today. Bruce is in the audience ostensibly to answer any questions, but since you guys have not had an opportunity to read it, obviously you don't have any. So as the chief is out of town, I would like to ask if he could come back at the next meeting so that he could answer any questions. And if you have any ahead of time once you read this, if you could get those to Kim, that way Bruce could get us some information ahead of time so that he's not having to answer things on the fly in case there's some research involved and things, that would be great.
Yeah, makes sense.
There is a number of information, there's a number of things in my report. I don't know if anybody has any questions regarding those. One thing I wanted to bring up, I did have a meeting with Bob Dalrymple, the U.S. Forest Service District Ranger, up until Thursday at 4:30. And he is retired now, but I would like to have a proclamation on the next meeting recognizing his service to the community. And Mr. Dalrymple is staying in Wrangell, which is very exciting. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so that's great. I mentioned at our work session regarding this shipping summit, although we anticipated maybe trying to do that in Ketchikan the 24th of this month, we're looking at an alternative date of the 18th or 19th of February in Juneau to hold that as an opportunity for members of the municipalities, the coastal municipalities around the state that receive barge service and shipments by water, to get together and talk about what is an unsustainable freight rates and what those are doing to the economies of our community. So we're hoping to bring stakeholders together to be able to talk about those issues. And I wanted the community to know about that. We certainly would welcome any members of the private sector as well to participate in those conversations. And anybody who's interested can get a hold of me and we'll make sure they get that information. Dan Neumeister talked about the process for the hospital. The architects will actually be in town next week, and I've been invited to participate in some of the stuff that they're doing on the 14th. So I'll be doing that. As I said in my report, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and that means budget time. And so at the next meeting, I will have a budget policy statement to you and a draft budget time frame for you guys to approve. So get excited to dig in, and we'll start getting some budget stuff going.
Yep. David?
Are we going to go through our budget like we did last year, line items?
We are.
Awesome.
Indeed. Okay. And hopefully it's going to be a little bit more smooth as this is year two of that process.
Okay.
So, yeah. The municipal services RFP was let, obviously, early in December, and the due date was today for proposals. We received two. Those two proposals were from Levesque Law Group in Anchorage and from Keenan Corral in Scott Brandt Erickson in Ketchikan. And our existing attorney, Bob Blasco, declined to submit a written proposal, but I actually spoke to him today, and we are good to go for continuity of service on everything we need, and if there are any special issues he needs to continue on with us, or we want to retain him to do any special things, he does that with Ketchikan and Juneau both. So if we should decide we don't want to retain him and we want to go with one of the other proposers, no fear for continuity of legal service there. So I'm pleased to say that.
For our reference, would you ask him if he would consider renegotiating his standing contract, and we could look at that with the other two selections with the RFPs?
We just did a process for an RFP. Now we're going to go and specifically ask an individual to give us a bid. I think he made it clear in his letter that his intention was not to put in for the RFP. I don't know
did
if
he specifically, I'm sorry.
No, did, go ahead.
Did he specifically say he would not renegotiate a contract?
He didn't say he wouldn't renegotiate a contract. He said he was going to decline to submit a
okay.
proposal.
So that's sort of the same thing.
I would say okay. so too.
I apologize. He said, after much soul searching, we have decided not to respond formally to the RFP for legal services. If the borough does decide to select another firm as borough attorney, we remain available to represent the borough in special projects, etc. So
I guess okay. what he's saying is that if you decide to keep me under my current, that's fine. Is that?
I think if we decided we wanted to retain him, he'd be happy to negotiate with us, but he did not want to go through the formal proposal process.
Right, that's the way I understood mm-hmm. it. But we never put that option out. I would like to see the old contract. I think I have the figures in my mind so that I could compare with the two RFP proposals.
I can send it to you.
Okay.
So along those lines, I would like there to be we need to review those, and I would like to know if the assembly would like a small committee, a couple of members of the assembly to sit with myself and the borough clerk to review those and evaluate them, or if you would like the entire assembly to do that. The RFP does require that the